views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Charlene Hess Show, living on your heart's edge on TransformationTalkRadio.com. In each episode, Charlene empowers you to shed the layers of your ego that hold you back and to connect more deeply to your true self. You will hear real, raw, and inspiring stories of people just like you who are letting go of fear to follow their heart's calling. Finally, the inspiration you've been waiting for to step out of fear and into your knowing. Get ready to feel empowered to live from your heart and follow that dream inside of you. Discover how to live on your heart's edge. The world is waiting for you to shine your light and share your gift. Now here's your host. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charlene Hess Show. I am so excited to be here this week. This has been such a wonderful week. I have made a new friend, and I'm really excited to be introducing him to you. As we talk about living on your heart's edge every week, I kind of want to go a little bit over what does that mean? And part of that is about listening to that inner voice, that inner knowing that you have, to cancel out all the voices of fear that are there, all the voices that say, that are your pre-programmed messages that are coming in, and to listen to what it is that your heart is asking for and to follow that calling. And I'm really excited. As I'm doing this show, I'm meeting more and more people who are doing just that. And so I met an amazing man that I'm excited to introduce to you. His name is Mal Jones. And Mal is a really inspiring coach and author and amazing Wim Hof instructor that I'm really excited to be sharing with you. Mal's mission is to shift the perspectives so that we can live a more authentic, healthful, mindful, meaningful, successful life that are free from the physiological and emotional and physical pain of our old stories. And in doing so, can become happier and healthier and stronger versions of ourselves. And the time that I have been sharing with Mal and talking to him and learning more about his story, he is doing just that. So I'm really excited to introduce you all to Mal Jones. Welcome, Mal.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. We kind of threw this show together a little bit with a shorter time period, and you have done amazing at pulling it together and sharing all of the amazing gifts that you have to share with us. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Go ahead.
We were talking about, you know, what do we want to title the show? And because as I was talking to you and we were sharing and you were sharing your story with me, like we could probably have shows all on the different stories and aspects of the life. So excited to dive into that, of what that means.
Yeah, sorry, you disappeared on me for a second there. I'm not sure what happened there, but I think you said, you know, talk about what does success to living a life of success versus a life of significance means?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's first of all, thank you for inviting me to the show. I'm absolutely honored. Appreciate your introduction. I thought you were talking about somebody else. sounded awesome. I'd like to meet that person someday. So I appreciate that. You know, as I share my story today, I think I came across this saying of, you know, moving from a life of success to a life of significance many, many years ago. Actually, back when I was right in the heart of the corporate world and then running some of my own businesses and using a lot of my own coaches and mentors to help me personally, but also on the business side. And I was part of an organization called Vistage International, which is an executive coaching organization. Mm-hmm. I actually became a coach with them. And they had this, they always talked about moving your life from a life of success to significance. I never really understood it till my transformation in life, which we'll talk about in a while. But to me, what it means very simply is, you know, most of my career and life has been focused on success, in my definition of success, which is a very typical Western definition, which is, you know, money, stuff, status, job title, you know, houses, whatever it happens to be. We measure ourselves against the bar of these things. And so that's, you know, success to me is a very inward looking, even though we may be talking about outward stuff, it's really all about me. What's in it for me? You know, what am I getting? And that could include your family and close friends or business or whatever. But, and switching that perspective into one of significance, where you are making a change in perspective in that you're focusing on helping others, maybe not individuals specifically, but others in general, society. You're making choices based on not about what it means to you, but what it means to others, how you can help others. Now, the irony is, in my experience, is it's kind of a strange phenomenon that when you focus inwards on stuff and money, it's not half as fulfilling, as enjoyable as actually when you start to focus outwards, helping other people. And, you know, the cliches about it's better to give than get, you know, I used to say all these things and I never really believed them until I started to actually do it. And now, specifically with my life in coaching and the Wim Hof method and in guiding other people, the satisfaction I get from watching somebody, you know, make a change in their life, however small it is, gives me so much more satisfaction internally than all this stuff that I was fighting for most of my life. So I'm not sure if that kind of explains it, but that's kind of my
interpretation. It does perfectly. I really like how you define success as, what am I getting out of it? And I think that a lot of us do. A lot of us, I think we think about success as accumulation. If I can accumulate the right house, the right income, the right status, if I can accumulate the right praise and adoration. So we all have these different ideas of success. Then I'm successful. If I have the relationship, then I'm successful. If I have the money, I'm successful. If I have the business with the income, I'm successful. And so I really like how you said that the significance is when it's not inward focused about what can I get, but more about what can I give. And that's when you make a significant change in your life.
That's powerful. And to add to that, and first of all, I want to say there's nothing wrong. This is not a criticism of how we look at success. There's nothing wrong with all of those things. There's nothing wrong with having a goal to have a nice home or to have a nice, you know, partner you're happy with, or you know, a nice job or a nice business. These are all fantastic things, you know. And I'm not saying people shouldn't go after those things. They absolutely should, because, again, there's nothing wrong as long as you're doing no wrong. But you can add to that. And what my experience tells me is that by focusing outwards, I'm actually able to achieve more of what I thought I was trying to achieve by focusing inwards. So it's hard to explain until you actually do it. And, you know, my goal now in life in general, especially my professional life, is to help others, just to make that very subtle but profound, you know, change in their view of things. It doesn't mean, okay, we're getting rid of the house, we're all going to sleep in the park, and we're all going to, you know, sleep under the sun and eat grass, right? You can do what you want, but there's nothing wrong with all of those luxuries and all those great things, and great, good for you, and good for me, and good for everybody. That's great. But just try and looking around you and say, well, what can I do that's different? What can I do to help somebody else? And it's kind of a hack, because it's a cheat, because by doing so, you actually get much more in return. That's
right.
Absolutely.
So when you when we were talking and you were sharing with me a little bit about this, you had a very successful life. You were doing really well as far as under the standard definition of success. You had a very successful life. So what was it that shifted and changed for you to decide that you were successful? So why did you all of a sudden decide that you needed more? What was it that you wanted that was more?
And I think the best way to approach that is to go back and talk about, you know, I guess my background, my history, you know, how I grew up, because they have a profound effect on my view of the world and what drove me and the positives and the negatives around that. So will I go straight into that and talk about growing up in Ireland and how that came about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that our past, where we came from, very much shapes what we decide to take on as our definition of what is success. And in sharing a little bit when you shared a little bit with me about that, I would love for the listeners, I would love for people to hear how you transformed from the life that you grew up in to how that shaped your view of success, how that made you successful in spite of and because, and then how that transition shifted. So we're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, I'm really looking forward to diving into that story and hearing more about that.
Awesome.
Thanks so much. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Are you ready to embrace your essence and the magic of who you are? Let me, Emily Perkins, hold your hand and walk with you as we go treasure hunting for the gold that lies within you. Tune in to Love Living Radio every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit LoveLivingHolistics.com.
The knowledge book currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Tune in to The Astral Insider, your portal for adventure, insight, and growth with Fernando Albert. And get ready to tour the astral realm, expand your life in ways you've never imagined, and call in for the journey of your life with this world-renowned lucid dreamer, astral projectionist, psychic medium, and healer, Fernando Albert. This is every second and fourth Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge, and I'm here talking with Mal Jones. as we're talking about going from a life of success to a life of significance. And just before we went on break, Mal was about to share with us a little bit about how he came to define his understanding, his view of success. So you were saying you grew up in Ireland.
I did. I grew up in Dublin in the, I'm 53 now, so born in 1965. So I grew up in the 70s and 80s in Dublin, which was a fun time.
Yeah. How did your growing up shape your understanding and idea of success?
Yeah. And, you know, this is interesting because I spent a lot of time in the last number of years trying to understand myself, what shaped me. And, you know, as I said, I grew up in Ireland. It was, you know, I grew up in a working class family. My dad was a tradesman. But it was a difficult childhood in that my mother, who really suffered from manic depression. And, you know, if anybody knows Ireland back in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s even, you know, manic depression or depression wasn't a thing. It was, you know, doctors didn't really treat it, didn't understand it, didn't recognize it. And basically you were told, look, there's nothing wrong with you. And, you know, while, so it was very bad for her. And she was, you know, obviously later we realized she was actually quite sick. But living in that environment with a manic depressed mother who was very intelligent and used emotional blackmail a lot with us in terms of, you know, how she got us to do things. The house I grew up in, there was constant fighting. You know, it was one of those situations where my mother started fights all the time, mostly with my father. We grew up with, you know, in those days, it wasn't unusual for kids to get beaten up a little bit. We certainly had plenty of that. And she, you know, she had this constant fear about dying old, penniless on the streets, which was, you know, crazy. You know, while we were working class, we weren't going to die on the streets. And she had this just crazy view that that's what was going to happen. The irony being, you know, she died young and just at, you know, 73 years of age and wasn't penniless. And so, you know, she spent her life worrying about things that never really happened. So for me, that had a huge influence in my life. First, the environment, and then this obsession with, you know, money and, you know, what the neighbors have and what we don't have and why the neighbors can go on vacations and we have to, you know, sit in the yard or whatever it is. And so that really shaped me. As soon as I could get away from home, I was incredibly motivated to do better.
Right. You
know, I couldn't afford to go to college. College, although it was quite cheap in Ireland, if not even free in those days, you had to pay for accommodation and food and all that stuff. And we just could not afford to do that. So I went straight into a job and I studied at night for 7 years, studied engineering first, then I studied business. So I was very determined and driven. And when I started to work in the technology industry back in the 80s, I was always fighting for the next thing. Because for me, it was all about money. I wanted the next job. So I worked really hard to be very good at what I did, at whatever it was at that time. Mm-hmm. And I was successful. You know, that paid off for me. I managed to get into some, you know, big companies like Dell and Microsoft and other big Fortune 100 companies. And, you know, eventually starting my own businesses and growing some businesses and buying and selling businesses. So I was really successful, right? Yeah. And, but I like defined that success all around money and stuff. And so to me, you know, there's two things that were going wrong. One was the focus, for me, was on the wrong things. And secondly, I was very emotionally closed. So the conversation we're having today, I would never have this conversation back in my former self. I learned again back in my childhood that emotion was, being emotional and open was a very dangerous, risky place to go.
Right.
And so, you know, you also asked, you know, what prompted the transition? And, you know, let's put it this way. I always say to people, you know, I had a successful life. I had the house, the boats, the cars, the family. I still have a beautiful family. You know, a wife who loves me and still does. Got two great kids. But I was miserable. And I usually use another expletive there, which I'll leave it out for today. But I was literally falling apart physically and mentally. And I didn't know why. You know, things said, I should be happy. But, you know, I was getting depressed. I had anxiety. I had panic attacks, chronic pain. I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. I had, you know, heartburn, a hernia, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, chronic infections in my sinuses. I had attacks of atrial fibrillation in my heart. I was getting some sleep apnea. I can go on for 10 minutes.
Wow.
But I ended up taking, you know, I was on 18 pills a day. And eventually for the pain was so bad that I was bringing codeine in from Ireland because you couldn't buy it here and using that. And ultimately I ended up, you know, taking all these pills and drinking too much wine to handle all of these maladies that were just bringing me down. And that's what changed. Wow. That's what happened. Wow.
So that was, I can imagine that would definitely create a turning point. You know, your story is, you know, so amazing. 18 pills a day.
Yeah.
Making a ton of money, having the house, the cars, the family, and yet here you are completely sick. And I think that that happens to people a lot. I think that I hear about that a lot, that people have all of this amazing success and yet they're dying inside. They're physically ill and miserable. And I know that in the work that I do in understanding and teaching people about emotional processing. And like you said, that, you know, years ago in your former self, you never would have had this conversation, especially live on the air being recorded, that, yeah, you grew up in a crazy household. And there were a lot of emotional damage was created, which was shaping your reality. Mm-hmm. Even though here you were on the outside, on the surface, you're doing great according to American standards. You have everything. And yet here you are, because one of the things that I say is that the body never lies, right? So you can use your mind to trick yourself to feel like, yeah, I'm actually doing great and everything is wonderful. Yet here I am needing to take all of these pills and drink. And just to be able to survive, because inside your body wants to process, release, and let go of all of that stored emotion. And that was one of the things that you shared in your story that you shared with me, was a little bit about your background, in that when you came to the realization that you needed to deal with your past and that you needed to talk about it and share your testimony of where you came from and what you broke through, that is what inspires other people to go, wait a minute, you know, I have that life of success outwardly too, but I am also dying inside. And that's not what you do as a coach, right? Is you help people to go through that transition as well, to create that transformation, that breakthrough of how to go from that. That's just so incredible. So that was the beginning of your transformation. That was your point where you said, okay, 18 pills a day, I'm in chronic pain, I can't live like this anymore. What did you do?
Well, you know, and you know that, you know, I was in my mid 40s, you know, and I started to look ahead to 50, and I really believed at one point I realized that if I didn't change, I wasn't going to make 60. Mm-hmm. Maybe not even 55, who knows, right? But as you said, and it's a great way to describe it, I was dying inside. You know, every 2 to 3 months, something new happened. You know, it was something, go to the doctor and go, oh, now you got this. And then you got to take this pill because this pill does this. And then you want to counteract this one. And I kind of woke up one day. I consider myself reasonably intelligent, yet I'm becoming a drug addict. And just because it's on a prescription, it's all okay. Or just because it's legal alcohol, it's all okay. You know, I wasn't sitting in the back of a park, you know, injecting myself, but hey, I might as well have been, right?
Right.
And it really struck me. So, you know, if I look forward now, I'm 53 now. I don't take any that's not true. I take about a quarter of one medication a day. So,
wow.
You know, my blood pressure is
18 medications. Yeah,
my blood pressure is normal. My cholesterol is getting to normal. It's almost normal. My weight at the time, I didn't mention, had reached 298 pounds. I'm now 228. I have another 20 to go. And it's one of those things I'm doing over time. I'm happy about it. You know, I barely have any pain. I don't even take a Panadol now. I refuse to, because I have found other ways to deal with it, you know. But most of all, and then I'll kind of get onto that process, but most of all to me is, just forget about all that. But for me, for the first time, as long as I can remember, I'm happy. And I say that with a smile because I am happy. I get up every day happy. I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with my family. I'm happy. You know, could things be better? Could I be, you know, of course they could, right?
Sure.
But I didn't realize is for years inside, I was miserable. And I'm a master of disguise. Mm. And I was hiding out of everything. And in fact, as you say, I was hiding out of myself. And eventually, you know, the body goes, well, if I keep letting you do that, you're going to die. And we're not going to let you to do that. So, you know, so what was my approach? Well, honestly, I had, you know, like everybody goes to, well, let's see, what will I do now? Will I do this program or that program? Or will I do this crazy program or this? You know, I've been through all of that over the years. And you was always, you know, yeah, you lose 20 pounds, you feel better, you get off one medication and bang, then 3 months later, you're gone in the opposite direction. So this, I've gone through all of those, you know, things that we've all done, whether we talk about it or not, we've all tried them. And so for me, I had to sit down and use, I guess, what I thought was one of my stronger points is, look, you're pretty smart. Figure out what criteria you're going to look at to change. And I kind of came up with three things, you know, for me. The first one is kind of strange, but I'm going to talk about it because it's not for everybody, but many times when I study and read about change and how people can change their mind or change their lives or change whatever it happens to be, their approach and things is to me, the thing that always jumps out at me is, why are you changing? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we all go, well, you know, I don't want to lose 20 pounds. I want to fit in those pounds. I've got a wedding next week. You know, I want to, whatever. We all have 1,000 reasons to do things, but they're very minor. And in my experience, they don't work. And if they do work, they work very short term. So yeah, I got a wedding in May. I want to fit into that dress. Not that I personally wear dresses, but if I did want to fit into that dress, right? And that's okay. But when then May comes, and you may have done it, but you know, you end up just going back because the goal of doing it and the reason you're doing it is a false reason. And it's a timely reason, it doesn't matter. So to me, I literally sat down over a period of weeks and listed out all the reasons I wanted to change. And you know, it was a very intense list, which I won't bore you with, but it was a lot of things. And then I listed the reasons that I didn't want to change. Mm-hmm. And there was quite a few of those. Right? One, it's freaking hard, right? Two, you got to admit you're completely messed up the way you're looking at things. So there's a whole list, but I got to a point where the list of why I should do and why I should change was so long, and I kept it on my desk. And I still have that list, you know. Wow. So when I ever get, because we all get days, we go, oh gosh, I want to do this one day. I look at that list and no, I got to remember why I'm doing this. So that was the first thing. The second thing for me is it couldn't be a fad. It couldn't be, you know, the new great thing, the eat grapefruits standing on your head or, you know, singing the national anthem, whatever it is. There's always a new thing out there, and I needed to stay away from that because they're never sustainable, and we all know where that goes. And the last one for me, being an engineering-type, math-type data guy, it had to be science-backed, right? It had to be proven, not necessarily beyond the shadow of a doubt, right? Because there's lots of things that aren't proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, but there's got to be studies, there's got to be, you know, success stories, there's got to be, you know, science behind whatever methodologies I took. So once I created those criteria, I came up with the three tools. And to me, the tools were the Wim Hof method, which I know we're going to talk about in detail, which, you know, completely changed my life, and meditation and mindfulness, something I struggled to achieve for many years. And also another program I did from a physical perspective called the Happy Body, which really helped me to learn how to work out again. And that's where I got to here. That's how I got to here.
Wow. That's incredible. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I would love to have you go a little bit more in detail about those three things and how you utilized them to make your change.
Absolutely.
Thanks. We'll be right back.
Two. again to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasik each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
TheAngelLady.net.
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 TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790. Sue Storm.
Sue Storm.
TheAngelLady.net.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. If you haven't been practicing active listening or not getting into some bad habits, it's a good idea to go back to the basics and remind yourself how to be a good listener. Here's an idea that might help. When your child comes to you with a story about her day, set aside whatever you're doing and give her your full attention. If you're in the middle of something that can't be put aside, tell her that you really want to be able to give her story your full attention and ask if you could continue the conversation at a specific time. So for example, this sounds like an important story and I'd really like to give it my full attention. Can we talk about it in 10 minutes when supper's in the oven? Active listening might sound like common sense, but often it's these simple skills that get buried in our parenting pack and easily forgotten or overlooked. Challenge yourself to practice this skill for a full week and see if you notice a difference in how much your child is sharing.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to The Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge. And here we're talking with Mal Jones. How to live, go from success to living a life of significance. And just before we went to break, Mal was about to share with us about the Wim Hof Method. So I actually was introduced to the Wim Hof Method in 2013. And it was an incredible experience. It seemed a little bit crazy at the time, but like you were saying, Mal, that when you knew that you were going to decide what method that you were going to use to begin your transition and your change, you wanted to use a method that had scientific backing, something that was tried and true, something that wasn't just a fad. And I can attest that the Wim Hof Method meets that criteria. But I'd love to hear from you because you are now a Wim Hof Method instructor. And that's pretty incredible. You've actually worked with Wim Hof himself. And so tell us a little bit about how you found the Wim Hof Method. I would love for you to be the one to explain to our listeners what is the Wim Hof Method and how you used it to change your life. And now you're an instructor.
Yeah. The Wim Hof Method. Well, I discovered the Wim Hof Method about 5 or 6 years ago, probably around the same time you did, I think, 2013, 2014. And I discovered a friend of mine when I was studying, and when I went back to study physiology and anatomy, mentioned this guy, Wim Hof, you know, because I had a lot of pain issues. He said, yeah, you should check this guy out. So I went online, as we do, and saw all these crazy videos. First talk about the man. I know him personally now. At the time, I didn't, but he's just an incredible human being from a perspective that he has all these Guinness World Records, I think 25 right now or 24, in the craziest shit you could ever think about, right? And again, things like climbing Mount Kilimanjaro in a pair of shorts and, half the time anyone's ever done it, running marathons across the hot deserts without having a drink of water, just crazy stuff. And so that kind of interests me. But at the same time, I'm like, well, this is just some crazy dude who's got some weird physiology going on. But the reason what I discovered with Wim was the reason he did all these crazy things was to get attention. And he had discovered a method that he called the Wim Hof method. And none of it's particularly new. It's not like he created it. But this method involves three main components. One is a breathing technique, a specific breathing technique. And secondly, is a gradual exposure to cold. And third is sometimes underestimated, but is that mindset and focus on the practice. And so let's talk about the breathing first, right?
So overall, can you give a brief description? What is the Wim Hof method?
Well, it's a method that involves three components. As I say, breathing, cold, mindfulness, focus, meditation, whatever you want to call that. And the idea is behind the Wim Hof method is that we are, for want of a better word, we're hacking our bodies to do things that are good for us. So let's talk about breathing.
Okay.
So the breathing methodology within the Wim Hof method is, you're breathing in faster than you normally would, into your nose, deep into your belly, then your chest, your head. And you do this, 30 to 40 times in fairly rapid sequence. Critics would say that's hyperventilation. It's not, because one is you're controlling it, right? You're the one breathing in this way. So the hyperventilation is when your breathing is out of your conscious control. So what's happening when you're doing this breathing method? Well, there's a couple of things that are happening. One is you're increasing the amount of oxygen in your body, which is great. We all know oxygen is the fuel for our cells, so that's great. There's no arguments there. But more importantly, we're reducing, by breathing out, the amount of CO2 in our bodies, carbon dioxide. Now, why do people care about that? Well, for me, who suffer from pain, carbon dioxide is an acid. Carbonic acid. It's in our blood as an acid. When you reduce the amount of carbonic acid, and I don't want to get too technical here, your pH level goes down. Your acidity goes down temporarily. And by default, your alkalinity of your blood goes up. Mm-hmm. Now, when that happens, the acid sensors in your body switch off because the acidity is down. And it so happens that the acid sensors in your body are the same sensors for pain. So you literally turn off or down or dial down your pain sensors when you do this breathing method. And with repeating of this breathing method, 2-3 times a day or once a day with 3 rounds or something, your body is learning that this is kind of stressful because I'm breathing fast, but then I'm stopping and I'm holding my breath for a period of time. I'm making these changes with my pH. They're reducing my pain or reducing my inflammation temporarily. And over time, that builds up and gives you lasting relief for pain.
Wonderful. So the breathing method is really incredible. I found that when I was doing it and I went through the breathing method, at the point when you, after you do your final exhale and you hold, that was the moment that I think that I first dropped into that deep meditative state, that I was able to reach it so quickly. It was absolutely amazing how fast, like the body just comes into an absolute stillness and calm. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, it is. And what's, again, I don't want to get too scientific about it, but, there are a lot of things going on in your body. When you start to breathe in that method, your cortisol goes up, your adrenaline goes up, your anti-inflammatory cytokines go down, right? your pro-inflammatory cytokines go down. So all this inflammation goes down. And basically, your body goes into a slightly fight or flight mode and is more worried about you surviving than repairing that scar on your leg, right? So it turns down all the things that aren't necessary. Now, people will say, well, that's very stressful on your body. And what we got to remember is that stress is not a bad thing, right? There's a thing called eustress, E-U-S stress, which is actually a positive form of stress. Now, and I kind of explain that to people in that if you go into a gym and you pick up a couple of dumbbells and you start doing some arm curls, right? And you spend 24 hours a day doing arm curls. Well, guess what's going to happen? Your muscles are going to get disintegrated and die. And you're going to be in a really bad way. So if you go around hyperventilating or breathing heavily 24 hours a day, it's not a good thing, which is why hyperventilation is not good. But if you go into a gym and you do your dumbbell curls for 3, 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, build it up over time, those muscles are going to get stronger. And just like that, your internal systems get stronger, your immune system gets stronger over time. And then that brings us into the cold. So cold exposure, you know, is usually what puts people off the Wim Hof method. You know,
yes.
You guys get into an ice bath, you want me to get into a cold shower, are you shitting me, man? No way. And I'm one of those people, I love the heat, I love the sun, I love the, you know, cold. While I swim a lot in the sea and stuff, it wasn't something that really attracted me. You know, I prefer if the sea was warm, or I used to prefer if the sea was warmer. But let's talk about cold exposure and why we do it. And this is the one that really fascinated me and really was profound on me was, again, what happens when you step into cold water? Well, guess what? You're not worried about that meeting tomorrow. You're not worried about, you know, what so-and-so said to me last night and did she mean this and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And what's this? Why? Because your body is suddenly going, shit, I want to survive. I need to live. So it literally immediately just if you want to be focused, guys, get into an ice bucket, okay? Because that will focus you, you know?
Yes.
So what happens? Well, again, your adrenaline just rushes because your body is panic. Again, your cortisol is going up, your inflammation goes down, and all of those processes of digestion, everything shuts off. Now, what else happens? Well, your cardiovascular system goes, shoot, it's cold. Mm-hmm. So it pulls all of your warm blood in to protect the internal organs in your body. Again, the body makes a decision, you know, literally makes a decision, goes, I can afford to lose my arms and legs. I can't afford to lose my lungs and heart and my kidneys.
Right.
So by default, your veins constrict and your blood stays in the center. Now, why is that a good thing? Because when you get out and back into the normal temperature, into the heat, your blood flows back out. So guess what? That's a workout for every single inch of your cardiovascular system. And, you know, people don't know this, but we have 62,000 miles of a cardiovascular system in our body, literally down to the tiniest minute, you can't even see them on microscopes. So every time you go from hot to cold or cold to hot, you're exercising those muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? Your blood pressure goes up temporarily, but just like the muscles in your arm, it drops. So it lowers your blood pressure. You know, when you practice regularly, your blood pressure goes down. Your resting heart rate goes down. I used to have a resting heart rate of about 70s, which is fairly normal. My resting heart rate now is about 42 to 45.
Wow.
Okay. So, and I know that because I monitor it, and in the morning, that's what it tells me. Your cellular metabolism, think about it, when that blood starts to flow back in around your body, it's flowing faster because of the pressure. It's cleaning out your cells a lot more than normal. So you're getting rid of a lot of junk. So there's so many, many benefits here. But one of the main ones, and you know, to talk about is what I call and what we call within the Wim Hof society, whatever we call it, group of people, is we're getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
Right.
What does that mean? It means that we're putting ourselves in uncomfortable situations. Yes, we're getting all those benefits we just talked about, all of which have been scientifically studied and proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, and people can go through their own research, just like I did. But also, one of the best benefits that comes from it is when you put yourself under stress, you get better at handling stress. So I find since I took up the method, things that are used to be stressful are no longer stressful, or they are still stressful, but I don't react stressed to them because my body has got really, really proficient and efficient at handling stress. So that's a huge thing for all other aspects of your life. And every person I know who practices will say the same thing. After continued practice over a short period of time, they realize, wow, I'm chilled out and things don't upset me or they don't kind of wind me up like they used to.
Right. Absolutely. When you were saying earlier that the part that turns people off the most when they hear about what is the Wim Hof method, you know, if you go on and you look at, Wim Hof, his website, and you can look at his documentary and all these different things. And he does these crazy things. And you're like, what is this crazy man doing in, the freezing cold in a pair of shorts and act like nothing? And eventually building your body up to the point to where you are not so affected, like what you were talking about. You're not so affected by the emotional stress and drama that's going on around you. And training your body to be not stressed from the physical changes and elements around you. I know that when I first was doing it and I was sharing with my hair clients about what I'm doing, like they're always like, oh, what crazy thing are you up to now? And when I was talking about doing the Wim Hof method, and they're like, oh, are you still taking cold showers? And you got in the bay? And it's like, yeah. And so I did, he has a 10-week program that I followed.
Yeah.
And I did the 10-week program. And like Mal was saying, this isn't something that you just jump right in and you sit in an ice bath for 10 minutes. Yeah. This is something that do that you gradually are building up to, starting with like 30-second cold shower and then coming back and then eventually building up to a 1 minute and then eventually each, gradually increasing your body. And isn't the breathing method combined with the cold exposure part of what prepares your body because you're turning the pain receptors or the pain sensors off with the breath work first so that then when you do the cold water, it's not, you don't feel it as much.
That's correct. And but people get a little bit confused by that. And I have people who call me and say, hey, how soon after my breathing do I need to jump in the cold, to have that lag effect? And that's kind of a misnomer. When you do your breathing techniques, the lag effect will actually last for 6 to 8 hours.
Okay.
So a lot of those things that are happening will actually last. And, again, I'm a data guy, I'm a science guy. They've done all of these experiments and these things last and they can physically measure them. So there's no hurry. In fact, I tell people to do exactly what you mentioned earlier is when you finish your breathing, my favorite thing to do is just to lie there because it is this calm, strange feeling that you get. It's probably deeply meditative. And one other thing I want to add, before we finish on Wim, and I think this is really important, is something happened to me the first time I got into a cold shower. Sorry, when the first time I got into a cold ice bath, and it was with Wim actually up in British Columbia. It's when the data really taught me that this was for me, was as soon as I got into the ice bath, and I was scared, and I was thinking all sorts of things. But something happened. I've been trying meditations for 25 years. I've done TM, I've done Buddha meditations, you name it, I've tried it. And while I had some levels of success, I could never quiet my mind. And when I got into the ice bath, for the first time in my life, and there was hundreds of people around, my mind had this unbelievable feeling of peace and quiet. And I knew at that moment, this was for me. And hence why I not only went on and became a practitioner, I went on and studied it and became an instructor.
Wow. Yes, I do know that I can personally attest to the benefits of the Wim Hof method. I did it, like I said, I did the 10-week challenge and I am not doing it as a regular practice, but it's something that I keep in as, I don't do it daily, I should say, but I keep it as a regular practice of something that I always go back to and remember, yeah, that's right. Every time I do it, I reap the benefits instantly. And I go, why am I not doing this on a daily basis?
Yeah. What's interesting there is you get to a point where I get in the cold every day, absolutely every day. And whether it's down at the bay, which is in 40s, 50s, or I have a tub on my deck, which I get into most days. And it's right now, and this time of year, it's down in the 40s and down in the 30s. And I miss it if I don't do it because, it sounds crazy. It's belching rain, and I go outside and I say to my kids, hey, I'm just going to get in the cold tub. And they look at me like I'm crazy. Maybe I am crazy, right? But the benefit I get from that, I call it my gin and tonic. I used to have a gin and tonic every day at 5 o'clock, a double gin and tonic. I don't drink alcohol anymore. So my double gin and tonic is in a cold tub in my deck. And I can honestly say it makes me feel way more relaxed than a double gin and tonic.
I bet. Yeah. And I think it's like people have hot tubs on their deck, right? And they go sit in the hot tub with their gin and tonic. And instead you have an ice tub, no gin and tonic needed.
But I have the hot tub too, because I love getting from the cold into the hot. So
yeah. Wonderful. So we've just got about 5 minutes left to wrap up. And I just wanted the listeners to know what you work with people to teach the Wim Hof method, but additionally, you also are a coach in a lot of other areas. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now in your life of significance and making a change.
Yeah. I'm retired, I'm retired from the corporate world and that craziness. And don't get me wrong, I loved it. And my wife's still in it and it's fantastic. But for me, it's not for me anymore. I've got better things I want to do. So for me, my work, and I don't even call it work anymore. I get so much enjoyment out of it. I coach people and, I used to coach a lot of people in business and in the corporate life and in business life and money and all those sort of things. But what I found from my own experience is that you can't really isolate those things when you're coaching somebody. Person's life, their partner, their family, their income, they all affect how they make decisions in their business. Their happiness, are they depressed, are they anxious? These things have huge consequences on their businesses. So my coaching really now incorporates, I guess, all the learnings I had from transforming my own life and all those tricks and tips that I've learned, to make things better and be less stressed and ways of maybe losing weight or maybe. So my coaching kind of spans across life coaching, health coaching, and, I don't know if you know, but I actually went and became a personal trainer and a nutrition coach as well. I studied that initially for myself. And, but I discovered that simple things can really help people make change. So my coaching tends to combine all of that. I don't really take clients anymore who say, hey, we want you to come in and work in our business for 3 months and help us turn this business around. While it's very lucrative and it's a lot of fun, it's just not what I want to do anymore. And so most of my coaching is with people. They can be business people, they can be not business people, but try to go across all areas of their life, because generally the reason they're having a problem in the office or in their business or career is not necessarily because of something to do with their career. It could be external factors. So that's
so. How can people get a hold of you? So you have your website.
Yeah, very simple. IceMal, as in ice cubes. icemal.energy. Remember energy, because doing Wim Hof method and some of these techniques will give you energy. And that's why I picked that domain. So icemal.energy, or email me at mal@icemal.energy. And
then you have a Facebook page and an Instagram, because I'm sure we all want to follow you and see what you're up to and what you're doing and how. And I know that you also do some, you just had a event at your home where you took some people through the Wim Hof method and they got to experience and learn that.
Yeah. That's one of the favorite things I do. I run small workshops, Wim and some others run workshops with 1,000 people, which is awesome. I've helped on those. Incredible experience to watch all those people change. But I do small workshops. I like to do small workshops, usually maximum 8 people in my own house. I do them every month or every other month. And they're very intimate sessions and people get right down into it for about 4 to 5 hours. And it's a feedback's always great. And it's not because I'm wonderful. It's because the method is wonderful. And people truly feel the benefits literally on that day. Now, the beauty about it also is it's not one of these things where you go home and go, okay, now I got to go back every week and I got to go this and that. You've got it. You know, whether dropping an email or checking out a website, you got it. And you got it for the rest of your life. Excuse me. And the only thing you got to pay for is the air and water. And I think that's still free in the state of Washington. So,
yes.
For now, right? For now.
Right. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming and being on the show. Thank you for sharing your story with us. It's absolutely incredible. And if you want to get in contact with Mel, you can go to icemail.energy and take advantage of his free giveaway of a 30 minutes of coaching. So thank you so much, Mel. It was so wonderful to speak with you. And thank you, everyone, for listening to The Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge with your host, Charlene Hess. Tune in every first and third Friday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Charlene empowers you to shed the layers of your ego and to connect to your heart so that you can live your calling and shine your unique divine light. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit CharleneHess.com. That's CharleneHess.com. See you next time.